Now, I know this is quite a hard question, but does anybody think they spotted a sort of common theme in our readings? Jono?
So my children, because like, Jesus was
brilliant! That will do, I think. Children would be an excellent answer. Thank you for contributing to Tommy. Now, perhaps we could have our first slide up. So there's the Lord Jesus. Obviously, we don't know what he looked like, but Jesus dying on the cross. And who do you think that lady's meant to be? Who do you think that's meant to be? The lady in the blue. Often she's shown in blue for some reason. Blue, like a valuable colour, maybe. Mary, okay. Mary, the mother of Jesus. There are lots of Marys knocking around in the Gospels, but Mary, Jesus' mum. And who do you think the other fellow is supposed to be? Abby? The disciple, yeah. Do you remember what he was called in our reading? Or do you know who he was? Yeah, Jono. The disciple called John, yeah, the reading calls him the disciple whom Jesus loved. So John wrote that gospel, Mary and John. And Jesus is dying on the cross. Now, it's a particularly horrible, horrible, hideous way to die on the cross. So Jesus is in agony here. And I don't know about you, but if I was dying on the cross, I probably wouldn't be thinking about much more than, this really, really hurts. But Jesus, of course, is thinking about other people too. So Jesus is dying on the cross for the sins of the world, for us, for others. And he thinks particularly as he dies of his mum and of John, this beloved disciple. And he says to Mary, his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, John, "Here is your mother." Now, John wasn't actually, literally, Mary's son. Okay, he's not Jesus' brother. But Jesus is saying, "John, will you look after Mary? Will you treat her as your mum now that I'm gone?" Seems that Joseph, Jesus' dad, probably died by the time of the Gospels. So Mary would have been left alone as a widow. And widows were vulnerable in those days. No social security or pensions or anything. So Jesus asks John particularly to take care of Mary. And you know, Jesus' life and death, it brings about a new family in the church. Mothers and sons, brothers and sisters. That's one of the things that Jesus' death does. Next one, please. What I want us to think about today is that when we trust in Jesus, we can be part of God's new family, the church. We've lost the number one there, but you can guess. Number one is we can know God as our Father. Number two, we have lots of brothers and sisters in the church when we trust in Jesus. So let's think about that. First of all, when we trust in Jesus, we can know God as our Father. Remember, we read that from John's Gospel. Next one, please. Remember these words. To all those who received him, to those who received Jesus by faith, who put their trust in him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's wonderful, isn't it? The right to be children of God, to know Almighty God, the creator of the universe, as our Father who loves us and cares for us and provides for us. Paul said a bit more about that in our letter to the Romans. He said, when we trust in Jesus, we're not slaves, but sons. No longer slaves to fear, set free from slavery to sin and to all the wrong things that we do. We are slaves of God. Paul often calls himself the slave of Christ. We're God's servants, but we're much more than servants too. We're his dearly loved sons. Not slaves, but sons. We have all the privileges of belonging to God's family and knowing him as our Father. Next one, please. And by the Holy Spirit, we cry, "Abba, Father," the Bible says. Now, Abba is not the band here. It's an Aramaic name, and it means dad. Okay, it's saying you can talk to God as your father, as your dad in prayer. Again, that's wonderful, isn't it? Knowing that wherever we are, if we pray, trusting in Jesus, God will always hear us. Next one, please. Now, did anybody see this video? I think it was the BBC News channel, and it's gone viral on the internet. Some people have seen this. Poor old Professor Robert E. Kelly, he was talking about, I don't know, international relations or security or something on the telly, live from his study, you know, by, I don't know, Skype or FaceTime or something. And all of a sudden, one of his kids bursts into the study, and then a baby comes in on a baby walker, and then an Asian woman comes in all embarrassed and quickly sort of takes them out of the study. Lots of people assumed it was the nanny, but actually it's his wife, their mum, and he was terribly embarrassed, and he was trying to carry on. He was slightly sort of shooing the children back. It's a very funny video. Do Google Professor Robert E. Kelly when you get home. He was able to see the funny side in the end, and there are spoofs about how a mum would have coped with it too, so you can check out all that on the internet later. But the point is that although sometimes daddy might not want to be disturbed in his study, basically children can come into their dad's study, can't they? They can see their dad, they have access to him. Okay, even if it's not always the best time. If daddy's ever on live TV, don't go in the study. So through Jesus, we have access to God the Father by one Spirit. Just like we have access to our human dads, we can come to them and whenever we want, and they will receive us. Let's have the next slide up, please. Imagine you wanted to see Her Majesty the Queen. What would you do? Knock on the door, could try it, yes. Have to deal with the police and the soldiers too, wouldn't you? Yes. Anything else? You could get a huge placard, couldn't you? You know, Your Majesty, it's Mark. I wonder if I could come and have tea. You could sort of try and get her to see it through the window. You could send her an email, maybe. Write her a letter. Invite yourself. Invite her around to you, maybe. You could do a life of good works. You might get, you know, an MBE or something, like new. You may be able to go to a garden party, yes.
Get to 110, then go to her house.
Okay, do you get invited around if you get to 110? Is that the deal?
When you get to 100, she sends you a card.
You do get a card, don't you? Yeah.
If you're 110, that's even older, so she might let you.
You never know. It is worth a try. Always worth. So try living to 110, see what happens. Of course, the Queen won't probably be around. We'll see when you're 120. Anyway, the whole point of this, so there's Her Majesty the Queen. Who's that?
Billy
Bob, apparently.
It's what? Billy Bob.
Okay. Who's the old fella there? Prince Charles. Okay, the Prince of Wales. The Queen's son. So it's much easier for Prince Charles to see the Queen, isn't it? The Queen's very busy. Maybe he has to make an appointment, I don't know. But he can probably ring up or send her an email. He can probably see her more or less whenever he wants, can't he? He has access to the Queen in a way that we don't. Hello, Tommy. Paul is saying that we have access to God the Father when we trust in Jesus. As his dearly loved sons, we have the privilege of coming into the presence of the King of the universe. Next one. And not only so, if we are God's children, we are heirs. Do you know what an heir is? What does that mean? Yeah.
Does it mean that we will get something?
Yeah. When they die, if you're lucky, you'll get the house, yes.
Next in line.
Absolutely, yes. So Prince Charles, he's an heir to the throne, isn't he? Next in line to the throne, absolutely. So an heir means you've got an inheritance coming in the future. If we are children of God, we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That's why, probably, the Bible often talks about us being sons of God instead of children of God, even though, obviously, we're sons and daughters of God. But in those days, it was mainly the sons who got the inheritance. So when the Bible says you're sons of God, it's perhaps underlining the fact that you're an heir. You've got an inheritance coming. Wonderful privileges of knowing God as your father. Now let's have the next slide up, please. Who here has got at least one brother or sister? Hands up. Okay. Keep your hand up if you've got two brothers and sisters. 3.
Four.
Mrs. Gray, well done. Okay, Sue, this is intriguing. 5. Mrs. Gray. 6. Oh, okay. Oh, we have a winner. How many brothers or sisters, sir, do you mind saying? 7. That is good going, isn't it? Okay, so we come from all sorts of different human families.
I bet. Counted them all. They're all here.
I bet you're quick at a lunch, aren't you? You know, if it's a buffet, you probably have excellent skills. Now, Jesus was once teaching a circle of people. They were sat around him. Next one, please. And his mum and dad actually, his mum and his brothers and sisters and so on came to see him. And Jesus said this: "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." It's by listening to Jesus teaching his word and by putting it into practice, we become his brothers and sisters and mother. Or let's have the next slide up, please. Jesus' disciples once said to him, "Lord, we've left everything to follow you." I think they were quite pleased with themselves. And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." So it's sometimes hard being a Christian, sometimes a struggle. We might get persecuted for being a Christian. People might give us a hard time. That happens to some of our brothers and sisters around the world. And most of the blessings of being a Christian are in the future. But there are wonderful and real blessings to being a Christian now. Jesus says, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. And in the age to come, eternal life. So let's have our next slide, please. So when we trust in Jesus, we become part of his family. We know Jesus as our elder brother, and we have loads and loads of brothers and sisters in the church, all those who trust in Jesus. Now, some people say there might be 2 billion plus Christians in the world. That might be a badly exaggerated figure. Who knows, really? But certainly there are lots and lots of Christians all around the world trusting in Jesus. And when we trust in Jesus, they become our brothers and sisters. We belong to God's family, with God as our father, Jesus as our older brother, and this horrible lot as our brothers. I mean, these lovely people here as our brothers and sisters. So let's have the last slide up, please. When we put our trust in Jesus, we become part of God's new family. We can know God as our father, not as slaves, but as dearly loved sons. We can talk to God as our dad in prayer whenever we want. We have access to him through the Holy Spirit, and we're heirs with a great inheritance to come. Inheritance to come. Lots of brothers and sisters in the church. Let us pray. So, our Father, we do thank you for your love and mercy, that through Jesus and his death, you've brought us into your family. Thank you that we know you as our Father, that we are your children, with a great inheritance to come, access to you in prayer, and the blessing of your family, the church. Amen.